This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's a piece on Barry Bonds out right now by Andrew Baggerly that is quite interesting on the mindset and perspective of a former hero in the sport. And we have a man in studio that works with us every day that we consider the Barry Bonds whisperer. And the reason I say that, Mike, I'm going to kick you in the junk about that forever, because I think that it was a big moment in your life. I get it. But that's, you know, it's a fun joke. I'm not doing anything. But I don't mean anything to hurt you.
You know what? I guess Sean asked this question during Crosstalk, and he was kind of like, if you could do it all over again, would you not give up the home run? And I've answered that question before. For some reason, I kind of drew a blank on that today because I was like, well, maybe I wouldn't have. But a lot of that led to this career that I have now, because it led to me doing a lot of interviews, doing them good enough.
You did cold pizza the next.
Well, no, I did. Well, I was doing a lot of different things throughout that 48 hours after the home run.
Okay.
But then as soon as the season ended, I was doing cold pizza and I did a Baseball Tonight segment. I was in Bristol, Connecticut. And so did good enough there that people here in Dallas, Fort Worth recognized it. So they knew when my baseball career is over that I might have a career in media. So I would say, I guess, hey, giving up that home run, kind of good, because now when we get into this Barry Bonds article, he feels like he has nothing left to do in his life, where that home run for me created a part that I could still be in the sport without playing the sport.
All right, so that's the part, when you were talking about that with Sean this morning, that's the part I want to try and dig back into. And Mike, I hope you can kind of find that place without feeling uncomfortable about it, because you said that you had a depression after leaving the game, because
right.
There was a part of you that was like, I've spent my whole life wanting to be a baseball player. And I totally understand that too, because I've spent my entire last 15 years trying to get to the middays or trying to get to a big time show. And now
somewhere
I'm
between
here,
like 6A and 7P, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I've been trying to get to this spot, and then I finally got here, and I don't know, like, thank you very much. I appreciate that post. But now I'm like, okay, I've been chasing this entire time. Now what do I do that I'm not chasing that? Well, I got to reset and reevaluate goals. Barry Bonds at a time was everybody wanted a piece of Barry Bonds. And when he was great, before he was on steroids, everybody wanted a piece of him then, because he was the best baseball player you could see. Then he became the best home run hitter you could ever see while he was on steroids. Then people still wanted a piece of him because they wanted their pound of flesh. Now he says, I feel like a ghost. A ghost in a big empty house just rattling around. And then a death sentence. That's what they've given me. My heart is broken. It's really broken. Now he is a week-long guest instructor in Giants camp. His visit is kind of going along the lines of what team investors are doing and all this other stuff too. So he's there for that part of it. But Mike, hearing him say that he feels like a ghost, I know Kevin would say, and by the way, we'll get to where Kevin is tomorrow. He's undergoing some testing at the moment, so we'll get to that tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. You haven't seen him for a week.
I'm panicked. Okay. Wait. Yeah.
But when, I know Kevin would say he brought that on himself. He did the steroids. He screwed his own after his career up.
Yeah.
That's why he won't be in the Hall of Fame. That's why he won't get those votes. That's why people look at him the way that they do, because he brought that on himself. But even still, that is part of being super famous and then having a fall.
Yeah, and for him, he talks about in the article about, and he's talked about this before after he kind of either was the Miami Marlins hitting coach or after he lost the Miami Marlins hitting coach job, is that he realizes how bad he treated the media. And the media is your way to the public. And because he treated the media so bad and made them feel worthless, and I know I'm putting my own words into it, but he kind of says, like, because I treated them so bad that then I got also a bad reputation with a lot of the public. Obviously, the San Francisco area loved him because of what he was doing for the Giants, but that's really the only pocket of baseball fans that really appreciate Barry Bonds. Just for example, I hate the Lakers. Can't stand the Lakers. I really respect Magic Johnson in his career and Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant and right now what LeBron James is doing for. I won't ever root for a Lakers team unless like Dirk Nowitzki was on the Lakers. That's maybe the only way I could ever do it. But I respect the heck out of those guys and appreciate everything they did for the game. But most fans of baseball, even though they loved seeing Barry Bonds do some of the things they did, they don't respect him a lot after his career is over, and that's what really hurts Barry Bonds.
Yeah, and here's the line I think that you kind of connect with the most when you say you spent your whole life trying to get here. The Hall of Fame, and here's the quote from him, if they don't want me, just say they don't want me and be done with it. Just be done with it.
Yeah.
And that is from a person who wants desperately to be there. This is very similar to Drew Pearson, right?
Yes, and he's almost done with it because I think next year or the year after, I can't remember the exact, I think it might be next year. This is the last time for I know him and Clemens are coming up on, you can only be on the ballot, I believe, for 10 years. And if you don't make it after 10 years, you're taken off the ballot. And then years later, you can get onto that list. And it's like the Veterans Committee or whatever that can possibly put you in. So he's coming up on the time where he doesn't have to worry about it anymore if he doesn't get the amount of votes that he won't get in. But, you know, when it comes to the rest of your life, I'm going to go off here a little bit on a different way of seeing this with Barry Bonds, because I do feel bad for him that he feels that way. And I know that it can be really tough after your career is over. But he shouldn't really worry about the Hall of Fame. That is an honor. That's awesome. And to get to be in that club, that fraternity, I know it means a lot to the greatest players in their sport. But ultimately, like if you read a book from Tony Dungy or stuff, that shouldn't make or break your life. It's just an award you get for your career,
right,
and what you did.
But what's going to happen 3 months or every time they announce the guys that are potentially there? He's going to get phone calls. He's going to get requests. He's going to get everything he can for people saying, hey, what do you think? And he has to give his opinion. Now, he might not have to give his opinion.
I think that in that case, you have to be at peace with that. And I'm going to tell you, the reason I was depressed and mad, I was angry, a lot of anger during the latter part of my career because I wasn't established as a major league player. And then in 2009, I worked my butt off that offseason. And I didn't really get a job that I liked. I was not going to go to major league camp. Best case scenario, my buddy Ross Atkins, who's the general manager now, the Toronto Blue Jays, who I played with, he was at the time with the Indians, and he said, "I'll bring you into minor league camp. I'll get you your innings in AAA in the minor leagues, but I'm going to release you at the end of it because I don't have a spot for you unless we have a whole bunch of injuries." And Mike, just being honest with you, because we're buddies, that was one of my offers. My other offer, which we never even talked about money, was the Marlins said, "We'll bring you into minor league camp and we'll start you off in AA." And I hadn't been in AA for 7-8 years. And I just didn't want to go back to AA and be a guy who's a veteran guy bouncing back and forth between AA and AAA with a family, making probably with the Marlins, who were a cheaper organization, $6,000 to $8,000 a month for a 5 month period doing that while I had opportunities to possibly do media here. But where I'm going with is this, and I think this is important, is how did I get rid of, and maybe people listening are like, I don't think you're away from your anger. And I still deal with anger at times. But the way that I became at peace with it is I do believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And I realized not during the time I played and immediately after I was done playing, God didn't give me the gift to be unbelievable at baseball, great at sports, just to be good at sports. It was a gift that God gave me to further his kingdom and to have a relationship with him and to use my gifts that he's given me. Like, obviously, I don't have a great gift in English. I don't have a gift in writing. When our boss is like, hey, we want you to write more on 105.3 The Fan, I'm like, I am horrible at that. I know that's not a gift that I have. I could work at it and become better at it, but it's not something that God gave me. God did give me this gift to be great at baseball. And it wasn't just to be great at baseball. God gave Barry Bonds even more gifts when it comes to the game of baseball. But you can use those gifts in other ways, you know, whether it's praying about it, meditating on it, however, and I don't want to get too religious. I know I get in trouble for being too religious at times while I'm talking about stuff like this, because it is my belief that God gave me these gifts, is that you have to use those as your career is over in playing the sport. It doesn't mean that God's gift is over. It's over in playing it, but it doesn't mean it's over in using that to further his kingdom, to show your love for the game of the sport that you played, for the love that he's given you. Right. And so, yeah, mentor others.
Look at Kobe and what Kobe was doing. Even if it wasn't connected to God, it was
right.
It was still, I want to try and help others grow.
And I just think that it's tough to explain, because it's this thing that eventually I realized that I was putting sports ahead of God and not God ahead of sports. And look, it's public. You can go Google me and find out all the bad things that I've done in my life. I am no saint. I am not somebody that you want to emulate with things that I've done in my life. There are certain things that I am proud of and certain things that I'm disgusted with myself that I've done in my life. But I would just say that some of those things is because I put sports ahead of my true Lord and Savior.
Okay.
And so I would say with somebody like Barry Bonds, and I don't know Barry Bonds well. I've talked to Barry Bonds a few times after giving up the home run with him. But I would just hope and pray that he realizes that you still have that gift. It's just not going to be used on the baseball field anymore, that you need to find your purpose in life. And God gave you more than just being a good baseball player.
That part of that, and I imagine that most of your conversation is, hey, you know, how nice was that pitch for you whenever it was time for you to hit that home run? I that's what I imagine. Y'all joke about that a lot. But here's the other part. So let's say some people have a different perspective on what their purpose is.
Right.
He feels like he still has a connection to baseball, and he wants to be connected to the game. Yeah. And I think that being connected to baseball, a lot of people say, or whatever it is, yeah. Well, if you can't do, teach.
Yeah.
And so he's tried to become a hitting instructor.
Right.
And now there's different, I mean, he was the best at it. So yeah. If I tell you to do something, you should just be able to do what I'm telling you to do. But now there's so much new information. That's what he says. He says, I'm new at it right now. Information is information. I mean, you can't get enough of it. If you can utilize it with your tools, then why not? But you don't want to be a robot either. So what they're doing to me is fine. I'm not playing anymore. So I look at it. I don't understand half of it, but I do get it. I'm still trying to get the same promised land. It's just going to be about a different way.
Right.
But he's not a good hitting instructor.
Right.
And like the Marlins organization, he wasn't good there.
Right.
So that's gotta be a kick to the jump.
It is. And maybe, and I think that he just has to be at peace with maybe his second part of his life. He's 55 years old. So whether he has 20 years left, 5 years left, 40 years left is okay. His gift is baseball. Well, like Mercer Street, I believe it's called, on Hampton, the place, the facility that Clayton Kershaw and Derek Holland donated to, and yeah. The Rangers did a lot, and Major League Baseball has been out there. Like, for Barry Bonds, he made a lot of money playing baseball. And I'm not saying you just have to have money to make an impact on things, but he does. He does have that gift of money through playing the sport that he was so great at. Is maybe he can start something like that in the San Francisco area or wherever it is. And so, yes, you're not working with professionals. You might not even be working with what are considered great baseball kids as players, but there's other ways that he can have a joy of baseball without it being on a major league level. But I don't know his heart. I don't know where he's going.
You suggest to athletes that are playing and listening right now? I know there are guys that play for the Rangers. I know there are guys that play for the Cowboys right. That listen to this station during their career to find something they care about so that it can help make that transition afterwards.
It does help.
Because Roger Staubach went into multi-million dollar corporation that he owned right afterwards.
And what is tough for players, and this is just the truth, is most of us don't make enough money to never do anything and just enjoy whatever we want to do, right? There are certain people that do, but a lot of us, you know, if we're lucky, for me, you know, I never made seven figures in a career. I barely made seven figures in my 13 years of playing baseball. But, you know, there's taxes. There's a lot of things that go into 13 years. That's not tons of money. Is you have to do something else after. But when you're done playing, for me at 30, 31 years old, you're entering possibly a marketplace wherever you want to do that next thing. And there's 21 to 23 year olds who just graduated college who are like, you know what? I will take that job for $30,000 to work my way up. Where when you're that age, if you're like, man, I have a wife and I have two kids and I have a house is $450,000 that I bought and my payments are $4,000 a month on that house. And that's not including all the other things that come with paying your bills. I can't take a $30,000 job. And so then you become depressed because you won't accept a job at that rate because you're entering the workforce really, even though you're 30, 31 with a family and everything, you're entering the workforce as they see you as more as a 21, 22, 23-year-old that's going to have to work their way up.
It makes you feel like you don't have any value. Right. That's fascinating,
Mike. And so that's tough.
That is very tough. I can't imagine what you had to go through. But I'm glad you're here today, Mike. That's a lot of fun, man, because it's a lot of fun to talk sports with you, man. All right, by the way, just saw the Boston St. Patrick's Day. The South Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade has been canceled.
Why?
Due to the fear of coronavirus. In Syracuse will continue to go on. Just wash your hands.
I'm going
to
keep panicking.
Just keep being clean. All right? Good hygiene is the key to this. We're going to be just fine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.